You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Vera.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, our guest says the DNR should be doing more to sound the alarm about chronic wasting disease in Wisconsin's deer herd.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. On Wednesday, the Stockbridge-Muncie community asked a federal judge to block the Ho-Chunk Nation from expanding a casino in Wittenberg.
Robert Menser joins us now for a look at this and other stories in Wisconsin news, as he does every Friday. He's storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Well, Rob, let's start with the latest. What's happening with this lawsuit?
Yes, so the details of the dispute are a little bit arcane, but essentially this is a fight between the Ho-Chunk Nation and the Stockbridge-Muncie community about the Ho-Chunk plan to have this casino expand in Wittenberg. This is in central Wisconsin. It's on Highway 29, which gets a lot of traffic for people who are going to Green Bay. And the Ho-Chunk already have a casino there, but they worked out a plan to expand it to the tune of about $33 million. It's going to add a couple hundred more slot machines, has been reported. And so, you know, a new hotel space. So it's a major expansion. The Stockbridge-Muncie has its own casino in Bowler, which is about 20 minutes or so east of Wittenberg, and their position is that this expansion would cost them millions of dollars in gaming revenue each year. So there's been a fight going on for a long time. They tried to get the state to block this expansion, and when that did not work this week, they have filed a lawsuit to try to stop it from going forward that way.
And Rob, as you said, it gets a little complicated. It sounds like it hinges in part on when the Ho-Chunk acquired the land for the casino.
Yeah, you're right. We should get to the actual substance of the dispute here. It's all about what the Ho-Chunk is allowed to do under a state compact. So the state of Wisconsin, in negotiation with Native American nations, has rules about casinos, where they can be, what they'll be allowed, and under the compact, this Wittenberg facility is called a quote ancillary facility. One of the claims made by the Stockbridge-Muncie is that these upgrades will make it something other than ancillary. Ancillary has the sound of meaning something that's secondary or smaller, and so this would, you know, does this take it out of that territory? The Stockbridge-Muncie also have a secondary claim that under federal law there shouldn't be any type of casino in this space, and that has to do with these this land acquisition claim. The Ho-Chunk says that all this is completely unfounded. There is casino gaming on the site now, which goes a long way to their argument that casino gaming is allowed on the site. This week, a Ho-Chunk attorney accused the Stockbridge-Muncie of defamation and predicted that its lawsuit would be thrown out of court, so we'll see.
And, Rob, I understand that the representatives from the Ho-Chunk Nation came by your newsroom to talk about the situation. What did they want to share with you?
Yeah, we met. I was in a meeting and with one of our investigative reporters. That, you know, they're trying to get ahead of the sort of mounting controversy here and lay out their legal claims. But also, I'm located in Wausau here, and Wittenberg is just a little bit down the road from us in eastern Marathon County. So they wanted to hit the points of this expansion will add 128 jobs between the hotel and the additional casino space. They estimate, you know, millions in new tax revenue for the area. And I guess just to give credence to one of their arguments, they did make the case that that casinos being near each other doesn't necessarily mean they argue that it's not necessarily zero sum between their casino and the Stockbridge-Muncie casino, that that in the way that some businesses, a car dealerships or whatever, might cluster together, that having this area be a destination for gaming might end up increasing everybody's revenues. Now, that's just an argument. Certainly, it's one that the Stockbridge Muncie rejects in strong terms. But that was their case, is that this overall is going to have a positive economic effect for everyone in the area.
And it seems as though a resolution in this could be a long road. What happens next in the lawsuit?
Yeah, so the state's view on this is pretty set. The state believes that this expansion can go forward. So it really will determine, you know, the real question is how far the Stockbridge Muncie can get with this, with their lawsuit. And we know that, that things can move fairly slowly in the legal system. So I don't know. I don't have a prediction, but, the Ho-Chunk, I think, would like to see it go away as soon as possible. But I just don't know how long this will be tied up.
Rob Menzer is with us right now. He's storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And Rob, yesterday the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected a rule change that would have barred judges from hearing cases involving the largest donors to their election campaigns. What happened there?
So this was in response to a call for a change from 54 retired judges, would have created what they called a bright line around these cases involving direct donors, people who directly donated to the campaign. The proposed rule would have set it at $10,000 for Supreme Court justices and sort of lesser amounts and lower courts. But for Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, if a lawyer or a litigant has donated $10,000 or more to your campaign, you can't hear that case. So that's not going to happen. That was rejected after a fairly short debate, and that means that in effect, the rules stay as they are, which is that justices can decide when they want to recuse themselves based on their own judgment, and sometimes they do. The legal argument, I mean, it really comes down to almost a defining debate between legal liberals and legal conservatives, and it is money speech? This is the same issue that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on in Citizens United, and since then, that's gone a long way towards, extending the proposition that political donations are political speech and therefore protected very broadly by the First Amendment. And that is the view that the conservative majority in the Wisconsin Supreme Court took as well. In other words, the argument is that a recusal rule like this would have the effect of discouraging political donations, which would be a form of limiting free speech of all those potential donors who wouldn't make those donations.
So to be clear, this rule change did not happen, and that means that things continue as they are.
Yeah, I mean, they continue as they are. It's a big, it's a perennial issue that is raised every time there is a Supreme Court election, which they don't come around all that often since the justices serve 10-year terms. But certainly it is one of the issues that is always talked about in those campaigns, because there's some, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know about these things, but there is something that seems a little odd to think that a justice would be making rulings on somebody who just maybe literally months ago had written them a big check for their campaign. But there, like I said, there are cases where the justices do recuse now. So that does happen. It's just that what the conservative justices push back against is the concept of making it a rule that you must recuse under certain circumstances.
And finally, Rob, our last story we're covering today, Ted Nugent invited to play the Wisconsin Valley Fair, and some people not very happy about that, some critics who were even calling for a boycott, and it sounds like Valley Fair spokespeople standing behind that decision.
Yeah, they're sticking with the Nuge. Yeah, so it was within hours of the announcement of the fair lineup. This is in the fair in Wausau in August. There were already sort of, you could see stirrings on social media, calls for a boycott. And indeed, I mean, this has turned out to be a massive controversy here. People are saying they're going to skip the fair. Other people are saying this is, I'm so glad the fair is bringing Ted Nugent. Nugent responded. This is his stock in trade. He called all the critics liars and haters, and posted on his social media feed that all their accusations are lies and hate, period.
And Rob, if someone hasn't been following along with this, what are people objecting to about Ted Nugent?
Yeah, so Nugent, you know, there's a certain type of entrepreneur in America today whose brand is to say outrageous and offensive things and then just sort of bathe in the reaction of people who get upset at those things, and Nugent is in this of this ilk. You know, just to be clear, because it does get confused sometimes. Nugent is known for being a big gun rights advocate. You know, he's a supporter of Republican causes, but that's not really what those who protest him are talking about. At least not here. You know, Nugent has posted racist imagery on his social media page. He's gone on anti-Semitic rants, posted anti-Semitic images. He called President Barack Obama a subhuman mongrel, which is an insult, but also is a use of a, you know, specifically white supremacist terms to refer to Obama's mixed race background. So, you know, I mean, people, it kind of gets slotted into like a liberal conservative issue, but I think that for some people, they would argue that it's not, you know, it's not exactly a Democrat Republican thing.
And as of now, he is still scheduled to perform later this summer. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
That was Robert Menser, storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau, and he's with us every Friday to take a look at the week's biggest state news.